Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
Great Seminars Online is the only clinician-owned continuing education company specializing in geriatric rehabilitation. Amazing instructors like Carol Lewis and Richard Bohannon bring content to life with five-hour courses for PTs, OTs, and SLPs. Check out Gait and Balance or documentation and you'll be hooked. Find out more online at greatseminarsonline.com. Great Seminars Online, maximizing geriatric function.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest is originally from Alaska. Went to undergrad at a tiny liberal arts school called Haverford College, home of the Black Squirrels. Yep. She worked in London coaching soccer after undergrad, then went to Duke for PT school. Worked in North Carolina at a sports clinic and in the training room of a large youth soccer club while also volunteering for the Carolina Railhawks football club. Then in 2013, moved to Delaware to pursue a PhD, studying biomechanics and movement science. Her research is focused on primary and secondary ACL injury prevention in athletes, but primarily for soccer players. On the PT Pinecast right now, Amy Arundel. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Wow, pretty cool intro.
I appreciate it.
No, I meant like not me saying it. I meant the content in there. That's all you. You actually spoke last year. I've been to all the conferences. Which conference was that?
I spoke last year in Omaha.
Omaha.
I gave the plenary last year.
Your big thing was follow you on Twitter. Twitter probably exploded right there.
It did. And not necessarily just follow. And we did a hashtag Prez Selfie Challenge.
Right.
So I challenged everybody to go out and kind of push their comfort zone and take a selfie with Sharon Dunn.
Which is tough because she's the president of the APTA. She's the big dog.
But
except
she's around.
She's Sharon Dunn.
Like she's Sharon Dunn.
If you were within 100 yards, you kind of get her personality right away. She's Sharon Dunn.
Oh,
she's
super approachable. And I asked her permission before I did this.
Smart. Smart.
Instead of just surprising her with it. She was totally cool with it. She did have to look up what a selfie was.
Oh, yes.
So did some of the APTA staff when I had to like get approval. Like, is it okay if I do this? What was even better was she was totally on board, totally loved it. And then she started photobombing people's selfies so that they were automatically hashtag.
Doing that.
Yeah.
But I bring that up because I want to make sure people follow you because you are big in pushing that identity and that social media presence. Follow Amy online on Twitter at SoccerPT11. 11, I'm guessing, jersey number or what?
Yep, jersey number. Yeah, always been my number.
What was your soccer background all your life?
So I started playing when I was 7, kept playing, kind of really got the bug when I was probably like 10 or 11. I got to be one of the like little kid mascots running on the field, totally amazed by it, and played in college. So I only played 3 years in college. I studied abroad actually my junior year and played in the Scottish Women's Premier League while I was over there.
What?
So
that wasn't in your intro. That's cool. Tell me about that. You kind of blew over that. Just played in the Scottish Women's Premier League. Whatever.
I mean, was honestly the level of play was about equal to playing collegiate soccer here in the States.
But that's just got to be cool doing something on an international level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it was awesome. And to get to play in some of the places I got to play,
where?
In Glasgow, you have Celtic Rangers. So one of the things we actually went and played the women's Celtic team on the day of the Celtic Rangers game.
Wow.
Which was insane. So we weren't actually in the stadium, but driving through Glasgow is just chaos. And at the time, it was still, and it still to some extent is, like there's some violent tendencies that come with that. So, you know, we're driving down the street and you see, you know, really amazing fans all about it. And then we also passed riot gates.
Wow.
So it was pretty cool. And it was an amazing experience to get to have. So
that's real cool. Just a quick side note for me. Glasgow, that's where Grandma McKay is from.
It is.
Yeah. So students mostly know you for talking about what we're talking about now with Twitter and the hashtag President Selfie is networking and leadership and getting involved in the APTA, and you're still pushing that pretty hard.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's definitely, it's always kind of been my thing is going out and shaking somebody's hand and or sending an email and pushing your comfort zone just that little bit.
Following through.
Really just, I mean, it opens so many doors. It's so easy. And as long as you can get over that first little hump, doing it once, it gives you that confidence boost. That makes it so much easier to then go to the second person and the next person. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you've got a professional network that you can call and say, hey, you know, like, I'm about to finish PT school, or I'm about to finish my PhD.
What now?
I'm feeling really lost.
Right.
What do you think?
Even if a lot of times people hear the word networking and they think it's like, well, that's how I'll find a job. But even if it's just perspective, myself included, like, as before I was going to graduate, as I was in Omaha listening to your presentation, I almost like sprained my neck. I was just nodding along. I was like, yep. Because that's essentially what I did with the podcast, was I just kept asking people, hey, do you mind talking to me? I think you're super smart. And everybody kept saying yes.
Yep.
I was like, wow, is it that easy? And that's essentially what your last presentation in Omaha was about.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Just ask, just shake their hand, just say hello, introduce yourself.
Yeah.
And
it
is that easy. Now, don't look at it from the perspective of, what am I going to get out of this?
Right.
Look at it from, like, I'm going to make a connection, I'm going to see where this goes. Maybe I can help that person.
Yeah, exactly.
But eventually it could come back, or you just did a great thing.
Yeah, or you never know. I mean, so one of the things that I really thrive on and love doing is I meet you. I learn about what's your story, what's your passion, you know, what makes you tick. Well, so I might meet someone 2 years later that has the same passion, that has the same kind of drive. Can I put you guys together?
Right.
Like, it's not that, then now I'm stepping out of it almost. I just get to kind of put you guys together and build that bridge, and that's a ton of fun for me.
Yes. Now you're doing your PhD because what? Just being a PT and a soccer player was not enough, or?
So my dream job is to work in the English Premier League.
Yeah.
I would love to work in one of the academies, and...
So what's the academy? What does that mean over there?
So the academies over there are, so when kids come into, they're actually still in school.
But they're young, right?
They're young. I
and
mean,
they
so
live there.
So the academies will start generally at like U8, U10.
Wow.
So we're
young.
Talking like 8-9-year-olds. Wow. They're still in school 3 or 4 days a week, like in their normal school. And then they're actually at the club 2 or 3 days a week training. As that gets older, they actually, some of the bigger clubs actually have residential schools. So the 15, 16, 17-year-olds will actually be residential on-site training 5 days a week and getting some education. So to be in one of their training rooms, to be able to collect data there, because you have an in-house data set essentially, but then just being back to treating patients and having that kind of interaction is really what I want to do. So
it's a big deal.
The PhD was something, I have a lot of these clinical questions that I've always wanted answers, and since I am unfortunately not a UK citizen, finding a way that I can get a visa to work over there, the PhD was something that I felt like could give me the tools to answer those questions, but also that additional thing that sets me apart that helps me vie for a visa, since I have to stand kind of above and beyond
everybody else. Right.
So
talk to us a little bit about your research. You're talking about primary and secondary ACL injury prevention in athletes.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
So primary prevention is preventing ACLs from an ACL injury from happening in the first place.
And secondary,
is once someone has had an ACL injury, preventing them from a re-injury.
Got it.
So that could be a new knee injury. That could be a second ACL injury. It could be kind of either. So primary prevention-wise, I study injury prevention program called the FIFA 11 Plus, which is just
sounds
a warm-up.
Sounds like a video game. Keep going.
Close. So it's a like 20-minute warm-up that teams can use right before they practice, right before a game. It has, you know, your dynamic warm-up components, you know, some stretching components. It's got some strengthening components, as well as some running and agility, balance, jumping.
All to do before they play.
All before you play. So we've been looking at kind of the biomechanical changes that happen with doing that program. We know it's effective. We know it's effective in cutting injuries by 70% in male collegiate soccer players.
That's a lot.
That's not just lower extremity injuries. That's things like concussions. That's upper extremity injuries and lower extremity injuries.
So why? Why would that correlate? Why are concussions being lower with a warm-up?
Probably just the core strengthening component, the neuromuscular training component, and potentially the coordination component. There's, because of the jumping, you're jumping up to like a header. And so it may be that. We don't entirely know. We don't know what mechanism it's doing. And so that's kind of what the biomechanical study is trying to get at, is how is it changing? Why is it changing? You know, what's it doing?
Wow.
So that's one study. And then I have two secondary prevention studies. One is using the injury surveillance data from Major League Soccer. So we've looked at all of the Major League Soccer players who have had ACL injuries and gone back to play. And we're looking at what injuries are they at risk for. We know they're at risk for a second ACL injury. We know they're at risk for a new knee injury. But what else? it would make sense that if you've had a hamstring graft, that you'd probably be at risk for a hamstring injury. Right. But we don't know that for sure. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We're looking at, you know, how long is their career after they return? What kind of injuries do they have?
So now I get research in general. I get it in terms of big picture.
Yeah.
What's your day like though as a researcher? Are you more crunching numbers or are you more with a patient running people through objective tests?
I have no 2 days that are the same.
Okay, cool.
It's kind of fun.
That is cool.
So there are days where I'm spending the whole day at my desk. I sit on a ball so that I don't get
Smart,
too bored.
Good.
And I code to electronic music so I bounce a little bit.
What's your optimal BPM to get a lot more coding done?
I don't know.
Like north of 130?
I'll have to look at that. Okay. I have to research that.
That's another study someone out there should do.
Right there. It can be meetings. It can be seeing patients in the clinic for functional testing. We have a motion analysis lab.
Nice.
So it's essentially like how you make video games and animated movies is we're putting little dots on people and they're running around our lab as we're using motion analysis to look at them.
All right, be honest.
Yes.
When no one's around, do you throw little dots on yourself and just have fun with it or what?
Not when no. So only when we have to, because it takes a lot of time to set it all up.
All right.
But
we have to
do a lot of piloting to make sure that, you know, when you're getting ready to do a study, you have to pilot it.
Right.
Make sure that you're getting the data that you need. So we definitely have like motion capture pictures of people dancing around the lab. Because nobody was paying attention,
right,
and they were bored, and we were trying to, you know, fix something on a camera, and they're standing all markered up on the force plate doing a little dance, you know, staring off into space, and
nice.
We just happened to be recording it, too. So we've got some pretty good skeletons doing funny dances.
So you say no 2 days are the same, but what are some of the days that you like the most?
I really like writing.
Really?
I'm actually a big nerd. I mean, I'm doing a PhD, so that's probably pretty obvious.
Okay.
I actually really like writing, and I never thought I would like statistics. Goodness knows I never thought I'd like statistics. Ooh. But when you have a question and you have this data that you know you can answer, it's actually really exciting to be able to go in, plug it in, say, all right, this is how I answer this question, and suddenly come up with
an answer. Yeah.
And then be able to create a story that I can write out and make it easy so that
question that I have,
somebody else might have and say, oh, well, here's the answer. Here's how I use it in the clinic. Here's how this is applicable to this patient.
So we hear more and more. I think ACL is the one medical term that most average Joes can recite. Why are there so many ACL injuries? I mean, I feel like this is the billion dollar question.
Yeah.
What's your 2 cents on that?
I don't think there is one answer. I think it's so multifactorial. You know, we know sex plays an influence, but we don't really know entirely why.
Right. We're taught a couple ideas,
a lot of different ideas.
But a lot of times it's like, maybe.
Maybe. We've seen, you know, we all have patients who we think are just, you know, they look great. You know, all their objective tests look phenomenal. They go back out on the field and all of a sudden they're back in the clinic again. You know, we don't entirely know. You know, I think there's a lot going on in the brain that we don't understand. I think that's a really big, exciting
area. Big question mark.
How do we actually influence movement? Can we actually influence movement? I think there's a lot of questions there that also play into your risk. Then we also got to throw in growing. You know, a lot of these athletes that are having ACL injuries are still growing.
Right.
I know, at least for me, I was really awkward for a long time.
Me too. I'm working on 36 years of awkward still. One day my mom said it'll all grow out of it, though. Fingers crossed. What are some of your favorite objective tests? If you were to say, these two objective tests, if I could have an athlete go through them, it will be the best predictor for ACL.
So that's a big discussion point.
I know. That's what we're on a podcast. It's all discussion. You said you like writing. I like talking.
So right now on Twitter, there's a huge fight going on.
There's always a huge fight on Twitter, Amy.
Screening is a big, big contentious issue. Whether or not we can actually pick up some of the risk, like are there risk factors and can we pick them up objectively? So if I'm honest, I don't have two objective tests that I would say these would be my go-to. I think there's a lot of value in a qualitative assessment, looking at how someone moves. I think we know as physical therapists so much, but qualitative data is really hard to reliably or to prove its reliability or validity. That doesn't necessarily mean it doesn't have value, though.
It's hard to replicate.
It's very hard to replicate. So, you know, I think also bleeds into the evidence-based practice. You know, you have patient values, you have clinician expertise, as well as the research. And I think those three things come together in assessing someone. Strength, I mean, obviously is an issue. Looking at someone's knee abduction moment, looking at how someone jumps, looking at, you know, their medial knee displacement off a drop jump. Those are great. We have great literature on things like that. But are they definitive? Not at all.
Where's your research going to go? Where do you see it going in the future? It's going to keep going because we haven't solved that question yet,
yeah,
so it's
got
to keep going, so, which is good for you.
Prevention as a whole. I don't know if I'll actually stay with the ACL in particular. Prevention as a whole and looking at injury trends. My goal would be to be in a training room type environment or a clinic environment where I can look at, I can collect injury data, look at what are some of those trends and how do we prevent them? Or what are we successful at preventing and what are we not successful at preventing? And then return to sport. So
it's big.
Return to sport is huge, but I think there's more components than just, say, rehab interventions. Workload, I think, is a huge, huge thing that Australia, the UK are light years ahead of us in looking at. Are we sending somebody back rehabilitated? They're strong. They may be symmetrical, but cardiovascularly or cognitively, can they handle the load of training at the level that they were?
Which will then lead to another injury.
Exactly. So I think that's probably where I'm headed.
Okay.
We'll see.
We're asking three questions to all of our guests during National Student Conclave. I want to thank our sponsor, RAS Medical Group. Number one, if you could work anywhere in the U.S., I know you're looking to go internationally, but if there's one place in the U.S. that you haven't lived and worked yet, where would you go?
Portland, Oregon's my favorite city in the U.S., so I'd probably say Portland.
All right. Second question, what are you currently reading or most recently reading? It can be PT or non-PT related.
Well, on the way here, I was reading an article by Tim Gabbett on the workload paradox.
Okay.
And also one on like influence of preseason training. How much does participation in preseason influence your injury rates during the season?
Cool. So, very scientific. I would expect nothing less.
Yeah, I don't get to read fun things very much.
And,
I was reading Bon Appetit. Does that count?
What's that about?
But it's like a cooking magazine.
Oh.
I was reading about how to cook turkeys and
Thanksgiving. Yeah, I don't go anywhere near that. For other people's safeties. Third question on three questions. Who is someone within the field of physical therapy that we should know more about?
Joe Black.
Yes. I did not want to know about Joe Black. He's been on
the
show
Black
before.
Joe Black is the best.
He is the best.
Joe Black is the reason why I got involved in the ABTA.
Get out of here. Really?
Yeah. No, dead serious.
Quick story about that. I want to hear it.
My first conference was CSM in San Diego in 2009. It was kind of, I think, like the third day. My brain was shot, so I left programming because it was not seeping in. Was wandering around the exhibit hall. Came across the sports section booth, and Joe Black and two other guys, Skip Hunter and Danny Smith, were all sitting there. And they're just sitting there hanging out.
Man in the booth.
Man in the booth. And I ended up talking to him for over an hour. Not about anything PT related, and walked away from that and then realized who these three guys were. They're actually pretty cool, and they just spent an hour hanging out with me. I was like, wow, that's what our profession's about. Our profession is really about the people.
And that hooked you.
That hooked me. And Joe has been incredibly supportive of me and of many, many people. He's been incredibly engaged and, you know, just an amazing mentor for the many endeavors that I've been leaning on.
So we're going to have Joe Black and Cecily DiStefano on the show later on tonight at the PT Pack event.
They are my co-presenters tomorrow.
Yeah. So we're gonna have a super secret party later on. Revealing the location. You know where the location is.
I do, yes.
But we're not gonna tell everybody.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot of wisdom. What would you want to say to the next generation of physical therapists, those students out there?
Go say hi to somebody. Go up and say, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm Amy Arendale. I'm really interested in this.
That's it. Because it's going to either go or no-go from there.
Yep, exactly.
But it's definitely going to no-go unless you say hi.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep.
Short, sweet, and to the point. Amy Arendale, you can find her online on Twitter, and the Twitter handle is @soccerpt11. Appreciate you taking your time out.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy, and we'll see you tomorrow as you present and later on at the Super Secret Pick Party.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they?
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariasmedical.com. That's AUREUS medical.com.
The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.